Let me tell you how the whole Bible begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the deep. Next verse. And the Spirit of God was hovering just above the waters. And God spoke, and there was light. In other words, it doesn't matter how chaotic your life seems at times, how broken, disjointed, the Spirit of God is that close.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was telling the story of Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones and how they were given life once again. We learned that before we can see answers to our prayers, we must first believe. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will take it a step further and show us the importance of getting our priorities in proper alignment. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Let Us Live.
Well, the next step, God is speaking and he's saying, we've got to go further now. So the first is you've got to see to believe. The second is let's read Ezekiel 37 and verse 7. Go. I spoke these words just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves just as they had been before. In other words, they came back to their original place. You know what God is saying? The next step is this. The next step is when there's disarray, the first is you got to see it to believe it. You got to see that these bones can live. In your family, in your marriage, in your work, in your future, your financial setback, the debts that you have, you got, I can figure this out. The second thing is, God is saying, you've got to put the bones in order, which means everything has to get in order again. Your priorities, because sometimes the reason why things are out of whack is because our priorities go off. We violate priorities. But healing is only going to come when we get priorities back or bones where they should be. Because you see, after a while, here's what our priorities become. Here it is. Your first priority in life, me. Second priority in life, me. Third priority in life, me. Yeah. Me, 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 me. But when you start to get priorities right, it's like, no, this bone doesn't go here, it goes here. And until that happens, healing doesn't flow. In high school, I played guard for our high school basketball team. So obviously, you know, we weren't a very good basketball team. And my dream in life was to be able to dunk the baskets. Right. Yeah, well, dream on. And so I just thought, oh, wouldn't that feel good to just go poosh? And obviously, because of my height, actually the height of the basket, I'm not able to do that. But there was one day the side bleachers were pulled out, and not the main baskets, but they have side baskets as well. And the bleachers came down, and I thought, if I climbed these bleachers and ran out about 6 feet, I could dunk the basket. Because it'd be up there a ways to start, you know, the launch pad will already be about 8 feet. So I thought, this is it. This is God. So I went up there and I ran off the bleachers and jumped about 6 feet and did a Michael Jordan. And I came down. The only problem was I was just a little short and the ball hit the rim and boing, bounced me back. I fell down and broke my leg. Now, at first, I thought it was just a sprain because it's like, oh, it's numb. Everything goes numb and you can't walk on it. So, but it was so painful. Well, the other problem was when I finally was taken home on a van, my dad lived in this little town called Trail, Oregon at that time. And this is true. Population 75. That's on the sign. And it was teeny, teeny country town, so small that on one side of the sign, it said, welcome to Trail. The other side, it said, goodbye, come again. Just really small. Well, when I got home on Friday, the clinic was closed already. It's not going to open till Monday. Now, I'm thinking it's just a sprain, so I put a little ice on it. But what I don't know is I have a broken bone on the inside. Now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, by the time I go in, it's starting to calcify in its place like this. When I went into the clinic, he took an x-ray. I don't know how he got an x-ray machine in there, but they x-rayed it. And the doctor came in and said, son, your bone is broken. But the problem is not just that it's broken, it's starting to calcify now. It's healing incorrectly. And so this is what he said. In order to get it back in place, I've got to break your bone again. And I tried to convince him, you don't need to do that at all. No. So no, I'm really fine. I'm feeling it's healing just fine. He said, no. If I don't do this, it will heal incorrectly and you'll limp the rest of your life. And I said, I have many friends that limp. It's all right. There's famous people that limp, you know, like on Gunsmoke, Festus limps, you know. And I said, I'll just be called Festus from now on. I'm really fine. I feel the Lord is saying, just leave it as is. And as he's talking to me, he just snaps it back. And oh man, I was yelling, and he put it back into place, and then he wrapped it and put a cast on it. And when it was done, oh man, tears coming down your eyes. And he said, if I hadn't said it correctly, healing would not be complete and you wouldn't have full use of the leg. But you've got, if you want healing to take place, because your body's designed to heal. That's how God designed things. When bones get broken or out of place, the body is designed, programmed to bring healing. But in order for you to receive that healing, you've got to have bones in place first. And now you can take advantage of that design that God has to heal. And boy, that was a very expensive lesson that I learned. Until this day, I remember that if your bones are out of place or your priorities, it's not going to bring healing. Doesn't matter. Now, this is the most painful area, because in order to get from here to here, you've got to make some adjustments. Because you see, the first priority, and these are non-negotiables, the first priority is God. It's not what I think, it's what God thinks. It's not what I feel, it's not what I say, it's what God says. Now, is that always easy? Mm-mm. Is that painful? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to break some things, bad relationships, bad attitudes, bad habits, bad tendencies. And to break that is not easy. God said it would be simple. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But if you'll do this, I tell you, then life will live again. The second is, those that are married, is not your family, it's your spouse. That's right. The best thing I can do for my children is to love their mother with all my heart. Best thing I can do. That has to be a bone in place. And the third then comes your family. And if you're single, it's God, then family. And then fourth is your career. Close enough. All right. Job. Okay, thank you. All right. I went to Palolo Elementary. Okay, job. But remember this. Watch this. You see this here, number four? This is not an end in itself. It is a means for you to be able to do this well. Here's our major wacko problem, is that we have made our jobs and careers an end in itself. No, it's a means. In God's priority scheme, it's a means to do well in much more important places. It's so that you'll be released, so that you can do well and provide and be a family or have your faith in Christ strong. It's a means, not an end in itself. It's a means to evangelism. It's a means to showing people who God is. It's a means to get us out in the marketplace so they'll see light in the midst of a dark situation. And so this is the priority scheme. So we've got to be able to go from here to put bones in place. Is it easy? Not necessarily. It sometimes can be painful. But this is the most important part of this whole message. Get those bones back into place. And you got to make sure that it's right. You say, okay, you know, since, you know, my spouse, well, I'll tell her then. You listen to me. No. You got to get things right. Otherwise, healing cannot happen. So you got to make sure that, you know, it's like the ankle bone connected to the shin bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone, and all goes round and around. Now, remember this, you got to make sure everything is exactly in place, not mixed up and helter-skelter. Because a lot of times we have like our foot bone connected to our mouth bone. Or we have our stiff bone connected to our neck bone. And our butt bone connected to our head bone. Ooh, this is church, sorry. Sorry. Now, we've got to make sure that all the bones are in its order. Then and only then, that which we want, healing, will be able to flow. So would you write down number two, set non-negotiable priorities. Non-negotiable priorities. And let's read Psalm 50 in verse 23 that tells us that we have a part to play in all of this. Let's read it. Go. To him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Would you underline orders his way aright? Which means it's an intentional putting things together. Putting things together. Set things back in place. I'm a gadget junkie. I have an iPhone. I have a Mac computer. I have a what they call a Kindle book reader. I have books on this electronic reader. And I'm just this gadget kind of person. I have wireless earphones. I just like all of that stuff. And on all of these little things, they have a button called a reset button. Because once in a while, not often, the computer will seize up on me. Maybe I've got 5, 6, 8 pretty hefty programs open at one time because I multitask and it just can't keep up with all of these programs running, and so it just seizes up. Or maybe I'm expecting it to do more than it should and I have to hit the reset button, shuts everything down, reboots it and balances everything back, gives it back its cadence, its rhythm, and its polarity is corrected, and then you can move forward again. And I was thinking, in our lives, a lot of times, I'm going to have to push the reset button several times in our lifetime to reset our priorities. We've had too many programs open. We're extended beyond what we should be. We're expecting life to do more than it really should. Our priorities are out of whack, and it seizes life up. It locks up. The love that we should have flowing locks up. The grace that we should have that's free seizes up, and we have to reset. How is that? Check our priorities and go back and reset them again. And these are non-negotiable priorities that we live and die by. So the first is you've got to see to... Yeah, if you can't see it, it ain't going to happen. And the second is you've got to set non-negotiable... Yeah, where the bones have to be put in place. Okay, I'm wrong over here. This is not the priorities I'm living. I got to get back into this. And if God calls you to be a spouse or a husband, your spouse is, besides your faith in God, your spouse, well, she doesn't. No. You work on that till you die. You work on that. That's a non-negotiable. Doesn't matter what you have to do. Ask for help, submit, repent, and you got to get off of the problem side to the resolution side. Then you start seeing things. Then forgiveness comes, repentance comes, grace comes, and a new beginning starts, and that's where new hope begins. So we start to see that, okay, and we prioritize. But there's one more thing, one more step. Ezekiel said, all right, the bones are put back together, but there wasn't life. You know, you can be a person that goes to church, loves God, married legally, but still no life. We can have a marriage, but there's no life in the marriage. You can have faith, but there's no faith. There's no life in your faith. Go to church, but there's no life happening. You have a relationship, but there's no life. And God is saying in these last days, he's looking not at the visage of a marriage, but life. Not just the visage of a people going to church, but life within the church. There's one more step. This summer, I had a couple of family powwows. And it's just a family meeting. Aaron was up there with his wife and all my other kids were there. And I sensed disturbance in the force with some of my kids. And there was a bone out of place, you know. And you can hear the blame. And she could have, I could have. No, you could have, should have. And so all of this is going on. I thought, So I call a family powwow and I have them all around the table. Tonight we're going to have a family powwow meeting. And we didn't smoke a pipe and pass, but we had a powwow. And so they were all there, and Abby was there, and Amy and Aaron, my other kids, and my son-in-law, and even Abby's boyfriend was there, and my wife and myself. And then I talk, and I begin to speak the promises of God. You know, God's promise is that we be close, that we have a future and a hope. And there's some things happening that we want to rectify and resolve. Because, you know, your goal is the same as your goal. Your heart is the same. You want the same thing you do. But she should have been. And, well, you could have. Well, you could have said it better. Well, you could have been not so stupid, too. And you just, you know, just go back and no. Your heart is the same as yours. You want what's best. And so God promises us that he will give us a future and a hope. So let's see how we can apprehend that and get that. Bring that to reality. Lay everything aside for God's best. Not me, but his and God's best. And so we need to speak. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, you see, what God is saying here, he said to Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Everything is in order. Families are there. This is there. That. Everything is there. But you need to speak life sometimes. Even if you are a churchgoer and things are fine, you still need to speak life. Would you write down number 3? You got to speak God's promises into reality. You got to speak God's promises into reality. Let's read Ezekiel 37. Go. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. Write down in that bullet, someone has to prophesy. Because see, sometimes, okay, we're going to church and we got a marriage and everything's there as far as in order, but we come home, we're not talking to one another. You can see people in church that they just don't talk to one another. So you still have church, you have church people, but life is starting to drain out. Somebody has to speak to that. Someone has to prophesy. In fact, let's read the next scripture together. Go. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Can I say something especially to the men? It's time we take the final step to bring life to our families by speaking to situations when you know that bones are out of joint rather than ignoring them and making believe that it's not there. Then it becomes a passive compulsive disorder where you're passive until something is so bad you blow up and you shatter bones again. Then you bring them back together after a while and it shatters them again. The Bible says, prophesy, speak the promises of God, speak life. And if there's something out of order, you call them back. I'd love for all of us to be able to learn how to do family meetings and family powwows when there's a bone out of joint. And men, we're the ones that God has asked to prophesy. Prophesy, yeah. What does that mean? That doesn't mean to pontificate. That doesn't mean to say, all right, everybody come together. You're the wife. I'm the husband. Get in line. No. That's not prophetic. That's pathetic. Close, but no cigar. No. To prophesy. What does the prophesy mean? Let's read what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Go. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and... Would you underline those 3 words? Edification, exhortation, consolation. 3 big words, but simple, powerful meanings. Let's look at the first. One who prophesies speaks for edification, to edify, to build up an edifice. It means, would you write down in that line, the first thing we do is with our words, we build them up. We build them up. To speak words that build up our daughters and our sons, to let them know how good they're doing. And even in a problem situation, I would say, your heart is so good because you want the same thing as you want. It's just that you're coming at it from a different angle. And so the presentation, the procedure's different, and we're miscommunicating, misperceiving someone's style as someone's intent to come against. And it's not. It's a different style. And so you build them up. The second is exhortation. You know what to exhort means? Would you write in that line? It means to stir their faith. Stir their faith. God wants the best. Now, if we say, well, she should move out or he should move out, if that happens, will that bring our family together or further apart? Will God's best take place if your will is enacted? And I want to stir your faith so that we'll see things in a larger context. Somebody has to prophesy, you see? Somebody has to speak God's promises. Otherwise, you'll start to have the visage of a Christian family, but not the life. And if you're a mom, my prayer is that all of us begin to speak God's word for light and let there be light. And then the last is consolation. To console someone means you comfort and encourage. Comfort and encourage. And if you can have that kind of tenor to your words, it will bring life. It'll bring life because you can see what could be. And God says miracles are about to happen. Then you put things in order, bones where they should be. And then healing starts. And then you speak words of life. Let me finish it like this. You know, we're all going to be going through problems or setbacks. That's just life. And I wish we could be immune from it, but we're not. But God has called us to be doorkeepers that when there is a dark point, we can open the door to God's best. And God's looking at us to be those kinds of people. Otherwise, we'll have a world on the problem side of the equation. But if we can be those, starting with our own families and our own lives, that open the doors to God's best, then light will begin to flood this community. But that's why our role is so important here as New Hope in our community. But you say, but sometimes my whole life is just formless and void. Let me tell you how the whole Bible begins. This is really cool. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was formless and void, valley of dry bones. Formless and void, and darkness was over the deep. Next verse. And the Spirit of God was hovering just above the waters. And God spoke, and there was light. The whole Bible begins that way. The rest of the Bible then unpacks that one verse, how it happens in life, in the principles of God, in the Messiah, and then in the last days. But you look back that first verse and listen to this. It says, in the beginning, life was formless and void. There's going to be times that we think our life is formless and void and there's just darkness. But here's I think one of the most beautiful verses. And the Spirit of God was hovering just above the waters. In other words, it doesn't matter how chaotic your life seems at times, how broken, disjointed, the Spirit of God is that close. Just above the waters. But everything was formless and void. And the Spirit of God was just above the waters. But darkness was over the deep. And the Spirit of God was just above the waters. What was the Spirit of God waiting for? The Word of God to be spoken. And as soon as God spoke, there was poosh, light. God, by His Spirit, doesn't matter how crazy your life gets or the world's life gets, the Spirit of God is that close. And He's waiting for someone to speak the promises of God. And if we'll catch that, then we'll understand what Ezekiel is trying to teach us. That when we will see and believe, we'll put things in order, non-negotiables that we live and die by, and we're speaking life, then no matter what things look like, you know that He can make us live. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Let Us Live by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages on podcast. You can also find Pastor Wayne's daily devotional. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.